الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, a few days back, someone came in and queried, what is this tasawwuf all about? Sometimes you have an occasion to explain someone matters in detail. And at times Allah Ta'ala inspires the heart more than other times. Perhaps it is the sincerity of the person that is inquiring. So in brief, I explained to him that in many respects, you find that one is a content and one is a container. And the thing that is actually required and sought for is the content. And many a times after the content has been used, you discard the container. A can of Coke, you would drink the Coke, you would drink the content, and after it's used, you discard the container, you threw it away. So really, it did not have a basic value. It didn't have, right? The need, just on account of the need, that is, on account of the content, you required the container. But the container itself wasn't needed. So now you can go and explain many, many similar examples. Now look at this human body. One is the content of the body, and one is the body itself. As long as that body is productive, and it's producing the content which is desired by Allah Ta'ala, then we respect the body, and we will appreciate the body, and we will take care of the body. But once it ceases its function, it dies, then you throw it into the hole. That you had thrown it into the garbage, this is thrown into the hole. Just because it's a human being, we will show it a little bit more respect. But in essence, we are doing the same thing, that after it's been used, then we throw it away, threw it away. So the value of it has been lost. So essentially, this body itself, it doesn't have the type of value that we aspire for, we strive for. That is why the hadith says it very clearly, لا ينظروا إلى أجسامكم ولا إلى ألوانكم. Allah Pak doesn't look at your bodies. He doesn't look at your complexion. That is irrespective. But He wants to see the content that's going to come out from you. Like you also are not so concerned about the container. Right? You have a little bit of concern, but the greater fikr and concern is the content. Is the content right? You open the can and you see that the content is right, you appreciate it, you pay the money for it. But if the container is too beautiful and the content is not right, then you will return it. Say, no, I didn't buy this. This is not what I paid for. So the more important thing, the greater concern, is the content. We also relate in that very way. And Allah Ta'ala sees these things also in that very way. That what is the quality of the content? Now, this is a topic, a very, very wide, broad subject. And it requires a lot of detail and explanation to explain what is the content. But
brothers, ND362881, ND362881, and ND60555. Kindly remove your car.
Now the question is then, what is that content that Allah Ta'ala is looking for? Right? Like we are looking for the right content in that can. We are looking for a certain type of a content. We see the content and we pay the money. Whatever the person says, then we pay it. Because we are quite satisfied and comfortable with the content. So, the whole question is this, that what is the content that Allah Ta'ala wants? He wants to buy you as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمِنِينَ. He wants to buy you. Like you want to buy that, Allah Ta'ala wants to buy you. But when he wants to buy you, then what does he want to see in you? There must be something that Allah wants to buy in you. He says, I don't need your body. He's saying that I don't need your colors and your complexions. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And I don't want to know about your lineage as well. So it's not your color, it's not your body, it's not your lineage. Then what really counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then the thing that counts is وَلَاكِ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He looks at the content. So in essence, if you go and explain this whole thing, then the amount of wealth that you earn, right, and the material that you possess, or the professions that you take up, really, it's not a matter that concerns Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long as it's jais, but it's not a thing that Allah ta'ala is really admiring. Because the profession that you take up, the work that you do, is not for the content. It is for the body. It is for the can. That is going to be discarded very soon. Right? So all that what you're doing, whether it's 15 years of studies or 20 years of study, and thereafter so much of work that you would do, just to look after this body, okay? The end result is it's thrown into a hole. That's the end. What you have worked for, what you had aspired for, what you had strived and struggled for, that's the end result. However you look at it, but this is the end result. Then what is the real thing that Allah Ta'ala wants to see? Does He admire this? It's a need. Nobody disputes that it's not a need. For you to be able to carry your functions, you would need this body. Like that content, for that content to be enjoyed, you needed that container. You cannot dispute that. You need the container. But it's just a need. It's not the real thing that you're seeking for. So you will have to take care of the container, because if you don't have that container, how are you going to manage that content? So in the similar token, you will have to take care of this body. Because if that body is not around, then you will not be able to produce that action. That soul, that ruh, was in the plane of souls. Alam arwa, it was there. But you ask that soul to keep roza, I can't do it. I don't have a body. Because I'm a soul, so I don't eat, I don't drink. So there is no such a thing like fasting. So I don't need it. I'm just a soul. You say that thing, make sabr. I don't need to make sabr. Because I don't have a body. The body requires to make sabr. I don't need to make sabr. You say it, for example, to perform namaz. It cannot perform namaz because it doesn't have the body parts. It doesn't have these body parts. How is it going to make ruku? How is it going to make sajda? You ask it to go and make tawaf and hajj. I don't have the body. So how am I going to perform these type of rituals? So these body parts were required for the soul to be able to produce itself, to perform the duties that will gain eventually the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The soul required a body. So the body will thereafter function in different ways. Sometimes it's fasting, sometimes making namaz, sometimes it's giving zakat. So all the righteous works, in order for it to be able to carry out all righteous works, it required a body. Without the body, I ask you, how would it be able to function? It can't function. It genuinely required a body to be able to function. But again, we come back to the question that what is the content that Allah Ta'ala wants? Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin. What does He want? He's bought us. So Allah Pak wants to see that did He pay the right price for us? He bought something from us, but He has paid the right price for us. So in a nutshell, the thing that Allah Ta'ala is looking for from us, is looking within us, is Islam. Submission. When I say something, just do it. Just do and die, not who and why. That's the meaning of submission. Just do and die. Then don't ask why, who, when. When you have declared, Ya Allah, main tera banda hu, tu mera rab hai, that I am your slave. I'm not just a servant, rather I'm a slave. So there's no question of who and why, then I will just submit myself. Then, the different rituals we will do, these are expressions of that submission. Allah Pak said, now make ruku, straight into ruku. Now go for hajj, straight into hajj. Now go and give zakat, straight. Then we're not asking. Because we already accepted Allah Ta'ala as the Rabb. That from today, you're going to give the commands, and I'm going to carry out the commands. You have decided what's going to be your duty. I have decided what I'm going to do today. So your duty, your work was to command me. You asked me to just close the eyes from a certain thing. I need to close my eyes. You asked me not to listen to a certain thing. I will not listen. You asked me to just keep quiet at a certain occasion. I must just keep quiet. Now that is called submission. So what Allah Ta'ala really wants is this submission. So if you understood that submission, then you have understood Islam. One person went up to the marketplace and he bought a slave. Bhai, tera kaam kya hoga? What's going to be your function? Whatever you say. And he asked, what's going to be your name? You must decide. Where are you going to sleep? Wherever you show me. What are you going to eat? Whatever you provide. So he says, Khuda tere par raham farmaye. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. For you showed me exactly what is the meaning of submission. I didn't know what was the meaning of submission. We say we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, and a slave is required to submit. So what is the meaning of submission? I didn't know it. You have taught me exactly what is the meaning of submission. Then I will not ask, what is your command? Then I must just go, I must just execute, I must just accomplish. Really, the enjoyment of deen is in this. Mujaddid al-Fathani, rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, for every century you have a revivalist. But Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fathani rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a revivalist for a millennium, for a thousand years, not just for a century. So you can imagine what a personality he must have been, that you call him Mujaddid al-Fathani. He is the Mujaddid, the revivalist for the second millennium. He says, the person that is asking, he keeps asking, why must I do this, why must I do this, and what is the philosophy behind this, what is the philosophy behind namaz, really, he is a suspect. He doesn't have the right quality of iman. Because if the quality of iman was there, then he would have asked this question. A simple example to illustrate this, you are going for Umrah or something, and you're in Dubai airport, for example, right? And you just message your wife, you know, I'm here, and I'm thinking of you, darling, what can I do? Say, you know, around the corner, you'll go to one jewelry shop, there is one diamond ring that I saw, can't you just purchase it? Now, that's a test of love. Will you ask the darling, you know, do you want this? It's just going to be around your finger, and after a couple of days, it'll be out. Really, is it something that you really need? And do you think it's an important thing? Do you think I must really purchase this thing here? Is this going to be in your finger? Only on occasions you're going to wear the thing. You know, it's a 250,000 rand thing. Must I take out that money? Now, that's a test of love. If the love is there, then you're not going to ask questions. See, you name the price and I'm prepared to give it. Now that is love. And this is what exactly Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah is saying, that you just do and die. And that is the meaning of Islam, that when you said in principle, Allah Pak, I've submitted to you, then I don't ask any questions. Inheritance must be distributed and divided in a certain way, though Allah Pak, let it have, let it be. They don't say, no, why, you know, the boy must get double the share of a girl, and, you know, a girl is weak, and how must she fend herself for herself, how must she support herself, etc. I will not ask this question. Allah, Pak, you the maker, you saw me, and you saw my father and my great-grandfather, everybody you saw. And they all came up, Allah, Pak, you will see to me, you will see to my child and my grandchild. I will not be around, you will be around. To look at it from the other side, when we are trying to plan it, if you left millions, and the child, na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala forbids, turns out to be a rotter, what happens to the millions? All gone, finished. So it is Allah Ta'ala that is, He will be. He will take care of you, He will take care of the progenies. So the right thing is just submit, just go with Him, just go with the flow. That's the only place that you will just go with the flow. Other place you will not go with the flow. That's the only place that you go with the flow, move with the flow. That is, in the flow of submission. I often say when I come to this masjid, all strange ideas come into my mind. What I've been planning for, thinking about the whole week, that all went away one side, and as I stood in namaz behind Mulana, and some other thoughts just, and these thoughts and the ayat just came in at the same time. It's not something that I planned and I thought of. Maybe it's the barakat of Mulana Marhum, and maybe his Murideen, Mutalliqeen, whatever. Mulana, I remember his last talk. The last talk I heard. Others may have heard other talks, but the last talk I had heard was in Azadville at the Jalsa at the year end. So the content of his talk was appreciation of time. That was the content of his talk. After that, I don't think I heard a full lecture from Mulana. Rahmatullah alayhi ta'ala fill his grave with nur and let his barakat flow throughout the world. So this is the content that Allah ta'ala is looking for. In this verse that I've quoted, right? Wasbir wa ma sabruk. One is the instruction, the command to be patient. And then, inna Allaha ma'al ladhina taqaw. You know, you want to be with Allah ta'ala. Everybody, he wants to be with the beloved. What is your ultimate, you know, you say, what's your ultimate? What's the goal? The goal and the ultimate is Allah ta'ala. So you want to be with him. So Allah Pak is giving you the whole prescription. I'm giving you the whole formula. You just do this and there you got your goal. Wasbir wa ma sabruk. So he's speaking about three things in essence. One is sabr, one is taqwa, and one is ihsan. Right. Let's start from reverse, ihsan first. Because he spoke about content, we spoke about Islam. So let's start from the last, ihsan. Right. Most of us know the meaning of ihsan, etc., etc. But I want to bring it to our level, right? You know, right to the bottom, at the level that everybody can understand. Ihsan literally means to do it good. We're talking about the content and what Allah Ta'ala wants So he wants ihsan from you. But what is the meaning of ihsan? Do it and do it good. The wife can just put food before you, not prepared, half prepared, or spoiled. You want it and you want it good. This is what I am working for. This is the net result of what I am working and I am sweating for. And by the second day, then you will say, now you decide what you want. Just the second day, if she spoils the food, what do you say? You decide what you want. The aunties were discussing, they didn't give names, but now it's a samosa season, it's a mosam, you know, Shaban and Rajab and all that. So the record that I heard, Allah Ta'ala forgive our women and us as well, that 30 different varieties of savories for 30 days. That's the record. So, but it just reflects our taste, not their taste. They're doing it for you and for me. Alright, we don't want to go and slam them down and suppress them or go and shout them too much, because at least the energies were used in something permissible, not something haram. At least. Our Buzurgan Adin Hazrat Jimara Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, when a person is doing something jais, they don't push him too much. Because the jais that he's doing, the permissible that he's doing, is a fortress against haram. Right. Now you're going to put the person out, take out all the jais from him, just try to cross over to haram. Now you need to get the person, but gradually on the other side. This afternoon after Asr, I'll come back to the topic, don't worry. After Asr, I have to speak to one Maulana, you know. Now some people are like that. They want to do it and they want to do it par excellence. You know, they start off, you know, from start, in a second they want to go to 190, one shot. See? So I told him, see, Allah Ta'ala got this design, He got it for a purpose. That you go in slowly and come up. You pick up speed and you come up. He didn't design it in such a way that you go on to the highest level of taqwa in 1 second. And there's a hikmat, there's a wisdom behind it. Just to show you the wisdom through a story, Hazrat Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah's grandfather. So he had contacted some buzurg, and in that first go, he became so inspired, he was totally disinterested in the world, everything else. So the mother-in-law went and complained to the sheikh that, see what you have done to my son-in-law. I was not worried about my daughter, I was just worried about deen, one way, namaz, Quran, zikr in the masjid. Now something has to be done for all this. So anyway, that buzurg, whatever he did, but he moderated the whole thing. When he moderated the whole thing, now the grandfather got very upset for that buzurg. Okay, what have you done to me? Just now I was at a high, now you moderated me. So that buzurg tried to explain to him, see, you have got wife, you've got children, you have got responsibilities. And in order for you to be able to accomplish and execute the responsibilities, then you need to have some level of moderation. Because if you're going to go full speed, then you're going to be neglecting them. Right? Like the hadith says, if you only known what I know, then you would have laughed less and you would have cried more. And if you'd only known what Nabi Sam had known, then you would have torn out your garments, you would have run into the jungles and cried. Now, if that was the case, if we went to such a high pitch in the first instance, what would happen? I ask you, would the administration of this world, would it have been possible? But that's the one extreme. The other extreme is, we just remain there, high. Today we're projecting for 10 million, and next year 20 million is the projection. And then you'll find some businessman coming in, you know, after some time, say, after a year or something, hey, you know, Mullah, we had a big loss. How we had a loss? We projected for 50 million, we made only 45. 5 million was Mawlana. You're not talking about the 45 million that you scored, but the 5 million that you lost, that is the loss. Nonetheless, just the completion of the story. A year before Mawlana's Nana passed away, 1 year before he could pass away, that buzur came again, and he reinstilled that same feelings, and he went on to a high. Now he's so happy and he's excited for no more. Because now he's on his way out. When he's on his way out, then he needs an additional strength. And now he's... And he passed away, and he passed away so beautifully that he knew he was more or less going. So he took the sheet and covered himself. The ladies around, all the house women, they were excited, they started crying. Obviously, women are soft-hearted. When they cried, he moved the shawl that was over his head. He said, "Arey, khabiso, tum kisi ko marne nahi dete. Stupid, you're not allowing anybody to die nicely." The women all got scared, they kept quiet. He put the shawl and there he went out. Finished. Dekho, ye ahlullah ke liye marna ek alam se dusre alam tak muntakil hona hai. He's just moving from one realm to another realm. And it's really, it's an exciting moment for them. It's not a moment that they are worried about. Kya hoga, what's going to happen? For them it's like a simple example. I'm going to be very simple. A simple example is, you know, you've been working and you worked very hard and you know your boss is very good, right? And you came to the end of the month. How will you be on that day? You're excited. Hey, what's he going to see? What's he going to give me? The perks that he's going to give, the business that I brought for him. And I know he's a loving person. He's an appreciating person. What's he going to give me? How excited don't you feel? So that is how that Ahlullah feels when he's ending up. So we were speaking about the content. And the content, I said, is submission. But now let us try and understand this submission. Right? This verse speaks about sabr, speaks about taqwa, and speaks about ihsan. And I explain ihsan that you do anything and you do it good. In your own self, look within your own self, you want to buy a kurta, it must be this type. It must be with this style. You're going out of the house, then it must be matching. And if you're not matching it, then the wife will match it for you, right? But they will match it. The shoe must be like the socks must be like the shoes, everything must match. Right? The house must look nice. The kitchen must be looking nice. The dastarkhan must also be looking nice. Although, you know, in a few seconds, few moments, everything's going to go down, right? But when it's laid down, it must be laid down very well. So everything that you want it well. The taste must be right. The contents must be right. The ingredients must be right. The preparation must be right. Everything must go right. Then you enjoy it. So Allah Ta'ala wants exactly the same thing. Do it right for me. You're talking to someone, talk well. Don't use any harsh words. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Use good words, be approachable, conduct yourself in a manner that is respectable. You respect, you love, you speak with kindness. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Even if you have to speak to an enemy. Ibn Atta, he is the Ra'isul Mufassirin wal Fuqaha. He is the head of the Fuqaha and Mufassirin. So one student, Arun or something, he was in his dars, in his lesson, and he says to him, student tells the ustad, "Okay, I see all types of people sitting and flocking in your gathering. But you are very calm and composed, in spite of the fact that someone is a Shia here, someone is a Khariji, someone is a Qadiani, whatever, but you are a very composed and a calm person. You know, if these type of people were sitting in my gathering, I would have let them have it." So now don't do so. Don't do so. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ahl al-Kitab. La tujadilu Ahl al-Kitabi illa billati hiya ahsan. Even if you have to speak to the Kitabi, non-Muslim, then to speak to him in a nice way, in a good way, with kind words. That your aggression doesn't become a barrier in the way of acceptance. Now you're going to be aggressive toward the person. Now what you may have given him may have been excellent. But the aggression that you had used now becomes a barrier in the acceptance. So don't ever do that. So don't you see that the Quran Sharif is speaking to the Bani Israel? And the Bani Israel is the same people, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that were cursed. But when Allah Ta'ala speaks to them, and Allah Ta'ala commands them, قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, that you speak to them also, speak to them well. So the title that Allah Ta'ala uses for them is a title of respect. Ya Bani Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. He speaks to them with respect. So whatever we are doing, let us do it well. And together with doing it well, then let it not just be a routine. What is the level of improvement? Today I made my namaz. What was the level of improvement? Was there any improvement? Like if every day, if the wife is giving only masoor, mug and masoor, mug and masoor, bhai, you say, biju ki average ke nahi? Won't you say that? Do you know anything else? You don't want a routine. You want something changed, some improvement. Some improvement of the you want, right? Won't you say that? So Allah also wants, He knows that you're coming up slowly, coming up in the grades. But is there any improvement, or you just stuck at one spot? Have you become complacent in whatever you are doing? And the thing that helps you to improve is some type of retrospect, reflection. You know, this reflection is such an important thing. Really, I think 90% of our people don't do this reflection. And if we reflect, then we don't know what's the meaning of reflection. Does anybody know exactly what is the meaning of reflection and contemplation? Most someone will say is think. What? About what? So the short and the long meaning of reflection and contemplation, as we learned from Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh, is to engage the mind in a thought that will bring you to your real goals. To engage the mind into a thought that will bring you to the real goals, the actual goal. Actual goal is Allah Ta'ala, Jannat, Akhirat, that is your actual goal. So to engage, to employ your mind in a thought that will bring you to a real goal, that is called contemplation. And this work of contemplation is such a great thing. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, people rate him, some people rate him as the Sayyidul Tabi'een, be it as it may. So he is a leader of the Fuqaha, Ulama, everybody. Sufiya Kiram, everybody. He is a leader of everybody. Such a comprehensive person he was. So he says, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَةٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ قِيَامِ لَيْلَةٍ. You think for moments, it's better for you than standing up the entire night in ibadat. One is you standing up the entire night in ibadat, and one is you employing your mind. So where am I? Am I complacent? Am I moving? You know, I need to get the content right. We're talking of content. So am I getting the content right? The mixture, the blend, and whatever it is, whatever it takes to make the content, am I getting it right, in right proportions or not? Heard Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, he is known to be the first mujaddid of this ummah. Allah Ta'ala creates a mujaddid for every century. Right? And then largely the ulama-i kiram pay him with the khulafa-i rashideen. If there's a khalifatul khamisa, then they call, they say that it's Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, because of the type of reformation he did and the challenges that were before him. Not just the reformation, but the challenges that were before him, and with all the challenges to bring about that level of reformation. So they call him Al-Khalifatul Khamis. So he says that the best ibadat is reflection and contemplation. Now someone may ask, why? Why is this reflection and contemplation so valuable and so virtuous? Now, a simple illustration to explain this, you know. You have one boy cleaning your garden, right? Nowadays with the new legal system, you mustn't say boy, say worker, don't say student, say what? Learner, some furafate, that thing. Don't say zina, say extramarital affairs. Don't say zina. Now, it's zina, it's haram, it's suraj what you're doing. Why must you polish it up and gloss it up? Haram, it's haram. Say the person on his face that you're doing zina, you're in suraj. Don't polish the haram. The haram is haram. It must be disgusting. If it's disgusting, it must be disgusting. So anyway, you employ the person, right? He's working from 8 till 5, for example, 9 hours he's working for you, right? So at the end of the day, at the end of the time, You pay him, say, 150 rand. They say, my boss is excellent. 150 rand. No way in the whole of Asheville I got this. 150 rand. And if you gave him lunch and meals also with it, say, my boss. Can you get a boss like my boss? But if you had given him with the 150 rand, the meals, and his transport fees as well, you gave, why? In the world you can't get someone like this. Right? So he'll say, he'll praise you so much. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we're good with these people as well. Now this is for that physical work. Now, look at it. Look at an example, right? Now go to a specialist, right? For some specialist advice you need. Special advice you need. Sometimes for 5 minutes he'll charge you 2,000 rands. Is it right or not right? Sometimes just for 1 hour and 10,000 rands he'll nail you for. Now this man worked for the whole day, 9 hours he worked. How much you paid him? 150 rand. Add up the meals, everything, maybe 200 rand, right? Yeah, he worked just for 10 minutes, half an hour, and he nailed you for 10,000 rands. And he says, you know, you're lucky, I discounted you for another 2,000 rand. What's the difference? This person used his brains, right? The result or the reward, for the remuneration for the brain is accordingly. And the reward for that physical self is accordingly. So the same happens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, that the reward for the mental exertion is different. And the reward for the physical is different. The reward for the physical is different, the reward for the mental is different. I tell you, in all ibadats, all mental ibadats, emotional, mental, the rewards is much more higher. Look at just one hadith I show you. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak will reward people according to their merits, according to their deeds. So many namaz, take your sawab. So many roza, take your sawab. So much zakat, sadqa, take your sawab. But that person that went through mental constraints, what we say is sabr. Right? We say sabr, don't we say that? He restrained himself mentally. How will Allah Pak reward him? يُوَفَّصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. No hisab, countless, unlimited sawab for you. Because of the mental restraint that you went through. The mental restraint is far, far greater than the physical restraint. So you have to employ the mind. Just hold yourself, hold your tongue. Don't say this. Just close your ears, shut your eyes. See? Don't harbor any type of malice. Just shut yourself, close yourself. See? So the mental exertion is far in excess to the physical exertion. So therefore Allah Ta'ala rewards you accordingly. You know, it was a habit, it's an addiction, but I had to hold myself. And there was such an urge in me, but I held myself. The person insulted me, humiliated me, he disgraced me in public. But I understand the reward that Allah Ta'ala has promised on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Pak will say, where are those people who have a claim against me? Normally Allah Pak has a claim against us, right? But here he says, where are those people that have a claim against me? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will announce, you are going to Jannah without hisab. Those people will appear who had made sabr and forgiven people. You had humiliated me, you disgraced me, you robbed me, you cheated me, you did whatever you did. But for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I had forgiven. I just kept quiet. I just held myself back. I didn't say anything. I didn't retaliate. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. We may forget. But Allah Ta'ala never forgets. What you did, that small that you have done, you had held yourself just because of Allah Ta'ala, He doesn't forget about it. We think to ourselves, now hey, I must fix this person here. He's doing this. And he can't take advantage. He's going on. Just now he'll trouble someone else. Let me go and check him up. Let me go and straighten him up. That's our reasoning. But what Allah Pak says, that person who restrained himself, you held yourself back. And how I'll reward you? You got a claim against me. Imagine how Allah Pak, how He wants to reward you. Again, we come again to the same topic, submission. Allah Pak says, just do it. My brain is saying something else. My mind is saying something else. My reasoning is saying something else. Everything is saying something else. The whole world is saying something. But then what Allah Pak is saying? Allah Pak is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. So He's saying that, let me just hold myself. So the first aspect that I've been discussing, ihsan, do it and do it well. In everything that we do, our hair must be combed and combed well. Cut and cut neat. The clothing must be right. A small stain on the topi, you don't want to wear the topi. Everything must be well. Your zahir, you want it, and you want it to be so perfect. Whereas Allah Pak is not going to look at it. So when you are so particular, so concerned about your zahir, about your outer appearance, what must be the level of the thing that Allah Pak is buying? He's paying a price for it. What must be the level? Can you allow one stain there? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ So he spoke about ihsan, right? Now the second, the last thing, my time is up now, but I need to speak about taqwa. Can I speak still? No? So I spoke about sabr, spoke about ihsan, right? Now let's speak about taqwa. See, when we are traveling, right? So, we take something, as we know, as we call, patkos, provision, tosha, zadera. These are all different words, right? But all got the same meaning. What? Provision. Something for the road. If it's a small journey from here to Maritzburg, then proportionately that type of provision. Going from here to Johannesburg, then that type of provision. Here to Cape Town, then that amount of provision. But here to Mahaj and Umrah, then that amount, so much we will take. Masalas and curries, whatever we will take, right? So the provision is in proportion to the journey that we are undertaking. The provision is in proportion to the journey that we are undertaking, right? Now if it is a journey of no return, irreversible, it's a journey where there is no toll-free number, no helpline, no brother wants to see the brother, father doesn't want to see the son, wife doesn't want to see the husband, mother doesn't want to see her own child, one and only child, she doesn't want to see. And she says, sees him says, with all due respects, for as much as I love you to pieces, but today, if I can make a claim against you, then I will definitely not hesitate in making a claim against you. So it's a journey where nobody wants to see the other. Right? فَلَا أَنْصَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذِهُمْ وَلَا يَتَسَّعَلُونَ No lineage, no color, no complexion, absolutely nothing. Irreversible, and you can't even seek any type of assistance from anybody, the best person or the worst person. Under the sun, you can't seek for any type of assistance. So for that leg of this journey, what is the provision that you need to take? What is a provision? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى You also take along provisions. The best provision is taqwa. Right. Now when we talk of taqwa, then everybody got his own understanding. Or his own mind of explaining taqwa. In a nutshell, taqwa means guard yourself. Guard yourself in every respect. Guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your tongue, guard your heart. That is called taqwa. At some levels, we do practice taqwa. And at some levels, we don't feel that that is applicable. That's the irony, where we feel that it doesn't apply in this case. But remember, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about taqwa, walaki yanaluhu taqwa. What taqwa hahuna? What reaches Allah Ta'ala is not the apparent. Money and all doesn't count. But what reaches him? Taqwa. Walaki yanaluhu taqwa. Taqwa hahuna. So what counts by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is taqwa. And taqwa is that very discreet thing within your heart. Very, very discreet. Very, very discreet. And it's within your heart. You need to apply your mind that are you according to the standards of taqwa or not? If you are conforming to the standards, then you've got your provisions. Then you're looking forward to the journey. But you're not conforming, and you're worried now, hey, if I'm going to be Christian here, how am I going to answer here? You know, you smuggle something, And from the time that you smuggled it, right to you, right till the time that you pass the custom, I'm going to answer the person. So exactly the same, when you have committed a wrong, from the time that you committed the wrong, right till the day that your hisab kitab has been ended on the day of Qiyamah, you are under pressure, you are stressing. Okay, I've done this now, I don't know how I'm going to fare in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. In this world, for the small little thing that we smuggled, or it's illegal, right? How concerned aren't we? Even at the multazam, Allah Pak, you know, I took this gold here, and this gold is illegal. Allah Pak, at the custom, Allah Pak, elko na andra kari nagzo. Just blind them. At the multazam, this is what I seen myself. You know, people got the holding multazam, or this gold, whatever. Allah Pak, just blind them off. They mustn't see this. So the time, from the time that you have done the wrong, right till your hisab is not ended, until the accountability is not ended, whether consciously or subconsciously, you are worried. Whether you gave an explanation for yourself or whatever you did, but you are concerned, you are under stress. You see, one of the reasons for stress is this, that we are not conforming to the levels of taqwa. So you must stress. And the stress is self-imposed. It's self-imposed. You couldn't afford that. Why did you go to the bank and do all whatever you did? Now, until the payments are not over, you are under stress. But it was a self-imposed crime. And sometimes I just speak to some business people, you know. This problem, I want to share this problem, that problem, you know. I ask them, no, lighter note, but I'm not serious, I'm not going to shout you, I'm not going to reprimand you. This is a free discussion. I ask them, see, brother, see, all of us were absolutely content, very satisfied, not borrowing a thing, absolutely. Where we are, we're absolutely satisfied. Absolutely satisfied, just trying to live with what we have done, and we're happy that Allah Pak has given us more than what He's given us, even though we have got little, but more than we deserve, in comparison to the sin, guna we make and all that. And then we see how Allah Pak has blessed us, is more than what we really deserve. You're so content and you're so satisfied and you're so easy. I asked him, but if you are like that, what percentage do you think, what percentage of banks will exist? So one brother told me, I think with difficulty about 3%. So that means that 97% of the banks are in existence because of our greed, not of our need. How are they functioning? It's because of our greed. What are they playing on? And what are we playing with? We're playing with our iman. They're playing on our greed. If you just divorce the greed from the system, just deleted it, go. Just on my need, I'm just going to work on my need, that's all. I'm satisfied. What Allah has given me is given much more to me than to many of His other servants. So I'm absolutely satisfied. I'm absolutely content. I ask you, what percentage will remain? That's what I say, that we don't contemplate. We don't think. We don't reflect. We don't engage the mind. And with engaging the mind, we'll understand what is taqwa as well. Because in everything that we are doing, you know, we are conscious about what we are doing. As Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that in certain respects, there are some gauges to gauge righteousness from irreligiousness. There are some gauges, right? There are some standards. You go to an accountant, you say, all right, this is in conformity with accounting standards, right? So it's right, balance, everything's right. Right. You go to a lawyer or to a magistrate, it's in conformity with the legal system. That's the only level that they can go through. Can they apply any system above this? They can't. But Allah Pak says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. That remember, they can only come to a certain level, I go above that. My level of hisab is even above the level of the hisab and the accountability of a judge or of a lawyer or of an accountant. He goes and he goes to a certain level. He can't go beyond that. Right. So there's a gauge to see that the person is balancing or not balancing. But he goes by the apparent. He can't go beyond that. Right. Look at a marital situation, right? Man is giving money, is giving time. He's giving money, he's giving time. But he's not giving love, he's not giving compassion, is not giving that sweetness and that warmth, right? So this cannot be measured by a magistrate, by a lawyer, by an accountant. He can't measure that. So, well, you're giving the time, and you are giving the cash, you're giving the cash also. So whatever was required, you are giving. So what else does she want? Are you giving the warmth? Are you wishing well for her? Are you showing compassion? Are you showing the concern and consideration for her? So Allah Ta'ala's focus is on this. Do you have the level of consideration, respect, love? It's your worker, for example, he's come to work. Maybe there was a funeral in his house. Do you show him compassion? Do you sympathize with the person? Imagine, just reverse the role. You were working for someone and there was a loss. Person doesn't even sympathize with you. No consideration, no respect, absolutely nothing. Rasulullah's level of consideration was such. A young boy, 5-6 years of age, and the child is a little bit down today. He's a little bit down, you can see his moves are not right. Nabi Sallam has got the heart to even sympathize with a small little child. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. You know, when I think of Rasulullah Sallam, he was bright and right. He wasn't clumsy and pulled up and withdrawn. He brought the child up. On that day, on that occasion, because he's talking to a child, he didn't straight away give him a sermon and a lecture and a bayan. You know, he gets so much of sabab, make sabar and all that. But he brought him right. Now there's a cheer on the child's face. And the whole household learned that phrase. Allama Ibn Hajar rahmatullah says, Qurban jai us nabi ki, ke unki ek fikre mein, in one statement, ulama have taken out about 80 masail. In one statement, what love people had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I showed you one level of taqwa that Allah Pak sees, watches. Another example, I think I saw this one of the badats from there. That example just struck in my mind. Not now, after Mother Day, some days back. Say, just for example, I'm managing the affairs of some people that are not mentally very strong. Right, orphans, or aged, or women, or mentally they're not very, very strong, but they need me to go and manage their affairs, right? So for example, they need a fridge. How much fridge? 10,000 rands. I got an understanding that whatever I do with you, 10% is mine. So he's giving me the 10%, I bought the fridge for 10,000, 1,000 rand is in the pocket, the books are reflecting 10,000. The best accountant, can he say I robbed? Can he say I cheated? But was I looking in the best interest of that orphan or that old or that aged or that person that was weak in his mind? Now, do we consider these aspects? So, well, this is my luck, you know. That 1,000, that's my luck, my mehnat. Right? But is it in conformity, khair khai ke jazba ke muwafiq hai? Ad-deenu an-nasiya. We say deen is khair khai ka naam hai, to wish well. What is deen? Is to wish well. But did I wish well for that orphan, or for that old, or for that age, or for that person that was not very, very intelligent? Did I wish well for him? Now, that is why I say, all we need to do in our lives is to reflect, to contemplate, right? My time, my age, my energy, everything. Am I channeling it? Am I doing it? Am I taking it to the right cause or not to the right cause? Just one simple illustration I will show you and end this talk today. We spoke about ihsan, spoke about sabr, and spoke about taqwa. That is the provision for the road. And that is what is sought for in the month of Ramadan. Right. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu came across one pious person that was seated between a qabristan and a human dump. Those that may have seen India 35, 40 years ago, time when we were there, will find that in the outskirts of the town, there is a dump. Human waste, sewage, everything is dumped one side. Right, a little bit outside the town. Whatever furniture, whatever they don't require, dirt, filth, everything is thrown one side. Whether it's sewage, whether it's dirt, filth, whatever garbage is thrown one side. So he sees this pious person sitting between a qabristan and a human dump. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, what an excellent place to reflect and contemplate. Because the one end is the end of this human being. It's a Qabristan, right? And the other end is the end of his comforts. His clothes, the good food he ate, the good furniture that he used, all the good that he used and he enjoyed, that's the other end. And the first end is the qabr. You know, what didn't you spend upon this body? You flew here, went there, bought this, did this, whatever you did, right? But that's, after everything is said and done, this is your end, and this is the end of your comforts. So contemplate about this both, and you understand the predicament that you are in. Allah Pakar has all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. Lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana zunubana. Kaffir anna sayyi'atina. Tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana wa atina ma wa'attana ala rusulik. Wa la tukhzina yawma al-qiyamah. إنك لا تخلف الميعاد وما آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.